Well, praise God. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, so good to be in the house of God. Even better, to be the house of God. Come on, everyone, lift up two hands under heaven with me, just like this. Father, we love you. We do surrender. All that we are, we present at your feet. Thank you so much for loving us so. Thank you for your redemption. Thank you for your rescue. We needed it. Thank you for your continued care every single day of our lives. We open our hearts right now, Father, just to receive more from you, from your word. May we continue to be equipped and strengthened to fulfill your plan and purpose in this life. We love you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So good to be with you on this Sunday. Just before we get into the message, God's word, I want to remind you of a couple of things. You heard it during the news just regarding our academic and merit scholarship. Want to ask, you know, if you are interested in that, you're a college, you know, student or high school graduate, go ahead and just submit your inquiry to office@impactsofl.com. If you do that, we'll be able to receive it forwarded accordingly so that we can start the process with you. I want to encourage you, take advantage of it. Okay, that's about two people. Take advantage of it. Amen. Yeah, and if it's not you, think of somebody else and say, you know what, you may need to get in on this. It's okay. We want to be a blessing to some individuals. Remember last year, we were able to kind of bless one young lady. She applied from the Boys and Girls Club because we reached out to them to say, hey, look, this is our scholarship that we had available. This young lady got her stuff in. It was impressive, too. And so we were glad to be able to send, you know, something up to her university as she was just getting started, praise God. So not only her, but there were some others, you know, as well. So come on, come on, come on, get in on it. And if you don't do it, I might apply myself. Just in case y'all didn't know, I am a college student. Once again, praise God. As a matter of fact, I just completed the other week now, my first semester. And so things are going well. So my first three classes, you know, overall, you know, grade percentage was, 97.5, 98.2, 99 point something. I don't know. I said, hey, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. You know. No time to be wasting time and wasting money. You know, so it's been a tremendous blessing. I mean, praise God, you know, for the grace, but I've just been thoroughly enjoying the experience. It's been stretching me, expanding me, and that's always a good thing. Yeah, so I covet your prayers. Keep praying for me. You know, right now into another two classes I have, you know, right now. And so enjoying those as well. But, yeah, they're doing what they're designed to do, and that is to stretch. Praise God. Amen. So, but it's good. It's a good process. I also want to remind you that coming up this summer, we're going to have community groups. Someone say community groups. Community. Now, community groups is a little different than small groups because community groups, quite frankly, are much bigger, you know, size. We're only going to have three. So it's just going to be three. One is going to be a kingdom man. It's going to last for 6 weeks. The other is going to be a financial peace. So you want to get your money in order. Come on, this will be a good one to register for. And then the other is going to be our women's community group called GLOW, God's Light on Women. So you can register for, you really can't register for any more than two of them because, you know, certainly, you know, if you're a woman, you can get in on the GLOW as well as the financial piece. But you can't step in on the kingdom man now. You know, so you can register for, you know, two if you like. Again, it's only going to last for 6 weeks, so definitely would encourage you to get in on that. If you go to our Eventbrite, you can register for that, and that's icevents.eventbrite.com. So you can be able to get that information, get registered. It starts next month in June. There's more information when you go out there. All right, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So this is our third installment of what we've been dealing with here with relationship status. Has this been helping anyone? Amen. Come on now, you know, Pastor Ronnie, you know, laid out some great stuff for us on last week. Come on, anybody here for that? If you weren't here for that, it's still available out there on YouTube, you know, Facebook. You can pull that up. You know, our first week is out there too. You know, we're dealing with singles on the first week, and then last week was about, you know, marriage. And one thing that we definitely understood, praise God, about marriage is that it's an issue of compromise, compromise, and some compromise. Yeah, those things, you know, are key. And then y'all got a little glimpse of my world of spice and rice in the first year of our marriage. I'm telling you, she was sweating me out. I'm telling you, I was clean. I was clean because she was getting all the impurities out because everything was ultra spicy. But praise the Lord, we worked through that. You know, didn't have to go to any counseling either. So, yeah, glory. So now, today, though, we want to get over into what you saw, you know, just dealing with this matter of relationship. Remember, we talked about with this series, the big question we're looking to answer is what relationship status are you, and how do you use that status to bring honor and glory to God? Everything that we do is always about honor and glory to God. If somehow your consideration ends with you, you haven't gone far enough. If somehow it's only kind of based upon how you feel and how this is fulfilling to you, you haven't gone far enough. Everything about us is designed to bring honor and glory to God. And that's why we sing songs like, "Here I Surrender." Now and forever, all of me at your feet. Yeah, so when we talk about now this relationship status, we want to bring honor, we want to bring glory unto Almighty God. Now, you know, one thing about entering over into a relationship, when you go from single into a relationship, there's a major shift. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Your money was focused on you. But once you go into that relationship, oh, you're going to have to use some money, some time, and some energy towards the other person if you're going to have a healthy relationship. Come on now, you know and I know you better not forget birthdays. Come on now, you better not forget Christmas. You better not let Valentine's Day slip by. And for my up north folks, you better not let Sweetest Day go away. So the Sweetest Day, it's a up north, you know, like holiday. It's a Valentine's Day in October. I don't know who created it. But anyway, so it really shifts everything, starts to shift our attention and our focus. And then one of the really kind of paramount major changes when you step into a relationship is that all distressing question, where are we going to go eat? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Talking about being in a relationship. Where would you like to go eat? It doesn't matter. Now, for the guys in here and online, you know and I know it matters. But, you know, the response that you would get, you know, very, very frequently, oh, it doesn't matter. Then you go out to the restaurant and then all of a sudden you find out, oh, it matters a lot. And if you don't watch it, that whole dynamic right there can create a whole lot of tension. Now, let me give you something, you know, right up front so you can evaluate. If you're in a relationship or you're looking to get into a relationship, here's five general evaluation questions about relationship. Number one is this: who does this person move me closer to God in Christ? Who are you in relationship with? Does this person move me closer to God in Christ? Is this someone, quite frankly, we could amplify? Is this someone I can see myself marrying? Really, the purpose of dating is to bring you to a place of marriage. It wasn't just kind of a social outlet. That's not really God's heart behind it. Number two is this: what? What do I know about this person? Come on, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, vocationally, financially, what do you know about them? At the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, everyone is like a Clint Eastwood movie. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Everybody got it, including myself. Now, that doesn't mean your ugly has to be some criminal, you know, type thing. But everyone, watch this. We all have a time, a season, a day, watch this, where you just don't feel your absolute best. Come on now. You're not feeling your best. You know, maybe you're tired. And come on now, that's typically a recipe for what? Some crankiness? And see, when you're in relationship, oh, you want to see that. And listen, if the person has fooled you to think they don't have an ugly side, hang around a little longer. Because they got it. I'm telling you, they have it. You just haven't, you know, come across, you know, the impetus that sparked things just yet. Here's the third question. When? How long have you been in the relationship? That's very key. I've been pastoring now, you know, for a number of years, I've been full-time ministry for 23 years, and I've seen some horror stories. I've seen individuals, you know, meet and get married like 30 days later. I'm just like, I know it seems romantic. I know that's what they show us in the movies. I get it. And I know that's your soulmate. I get it. But maybe, just maybe, give it a little bit more time for things can play out. Because watch this. If it's your soulmate after 30 days, it's your soulmate after, you know, 6 months. Number four, where is the relationship heading? These are evaluation questions. Listen, are we growing in God together, or are we at the same place in God as when we started? And then lastly, the most important, why? Why am I dating this person? Why are you dating them? Why are you in a relationship with them? Listen, if it's for your fulfillment, if it's for your satisfaction, it's for how they make you feel, then you got the wrong motive. That's all self-centered and selfish. The heart behind why you and I should be in a relationship, and for my married folks in particular, you know, as well, is that I'm looking to bring value to them. I'm looking to help them now fulfill God's plan and purpose for their life. Watch this. It's not about me. Now, most people do relationship completely, you know, opposite. And hence, it creates a whole lot of challenge. The Word of God, the Bible, speaks a whole lot about, you know, relationship. And I believe one of the reasons why it does is because relationships is really a fundamental part of what it means to be humans who are made in the image of God. It's a fundamental part. You remember Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, you know, God says this, you know, let us make man, humanity, in our image after our likeness. There's this connectivity that Almighty God was always looking for you and I to be able to have with him and with each other. Relationships are extremely key. So here's the very first point. Focus in on this today. God exists in relationship. God exists in relationship. So relationship is extremely important to God. So if you're in a relationship, kudos to you. Enjoy it. That's my role here today, to help you to have your dream come true and not let it turn into a nightmare. You're very welcome. All right, there we go. It's what I do, praise God. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. Notice what Jesus says. I love this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you, Jesus asked? When everything is ready, I will come again and do what? And get you. So that you will always, always be with me where I am. God exists in a relationship. Jesus says, now when this thing all wraps up, I'm getting something ready. And when I get it ready, when it's all done, I'm coming back to get you. So that you and I can be together forever. Where I am, that's where you are. Relationship has always been God's heartbeat. And when we learn how to value it his way, then it makes the horizontal relationships in our lives so much sweeter. Jesus, you know, begins to deal with something in Matthew chapter 22. You know, they're trying to quiz him on what's the kind of most important, you know, law and commandment. You know, we want to know. And there was a lot of kind of, you know, debate, you know, about that during the particular time. So one particular attorney asked Jesus, you know, what he thought. And in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Come on now, Jesus did a game-changing shift right there. He says, now listen, if you really want to get down to the core of things, this thing is about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Now that was significant because that lawyer and everyone in the audience was familiar with what he just quoted. He quoted something. He quoted something over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know, beginning at verse 4, which is called the Shema. The Shema is a Hebrew word that literally means listen. And Orthodox Jews then and still today, they recite it every day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord our God is one. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. So when Jesus hits them with this, nobody can refute it. Nobody can refute it. As a matter of fact, you almost have to ask yourself the question, why did they even need to ask? What is the greatest commandment? But Jesus begins to kind of break things, you know, down for them so that they could understand. Look, this is what is the most significant. Now listen, this is key because in order for horizontal relationships to be healthy, the vertical relationship has to be healthy. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have symptoms of distress and friction and tension in your horizontal relationships, something is going on vertically. Now, we don't like to do that because what we don't want to do is we want to blame the other person. It's her. No, it's him. No, Pat, you don't understand. I don't know how many times I've heard that in my ministry. Like, you don't understand. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, you don't understand. What's going wrong here is because you won't address this. Here I surrender, now and forever. See, you won't do that. You won't stay there. I'm not talking about visiting there. Live there. See, when we live there, then this now starts to flow. You know, one thing about, you know, when you're in a relationship, everybody can attest to this. You get into a relationship, and watch this. It's a good one. Come on, somebody say it's a good one. Come on now. She fine. He handsome. All of that kind of stuff. So you know what you got to do. You got to tell some friends about it. You got to tell some friends about his smile. Ooh, his muscles. Oh, my goodness. You got to tell some friends about her shape, her sweetness. You got to tell some friends about his generosity. I mean, watch this. People get a little tired of you talking about the person you're seeing. Anybody ever experienced that before? But now watch this. God says now the very first commandment, the thing that's most important is that you love me. Now we got to ask ourselves the question, how much then are we talking about God? I'm not talking about Sunday mornings. It's easy for us to talk about God on Sunday morning. But come on, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Come on, when you're doing life. Watch this. The one that we are in love with should somehow be peppered in all of our conversations. Did I tell you about my amazing father? I mean, I'm telling you, he is good. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my goodness. I see you got a new house. Yes, you're right, I got a new house. Because of my glorious father. Everything winds up coming back to the one that we are truly in love with. Always keep that in mind. You know, reason I think that Jesus here in particular lifts up love for God as paramount is because he knows that a love for God, again, affects our love for others. So he knows that if this is not right, it's going to affect this. And see, and here's the thing you have to resist. Say that with me, resist. You have to resist in our culture today this pursuit for godliness in love without God. See, our culture and society, it wants this loving, godly society, but at the same time, it refuses to accept God. It rejects God. And anytime this happens, ladies and gentlemen, it's only going to lead to contempt, confusion, and chaos. And we're increasing in it every day. You can't have it without him. You can't have it without him. You're trying to manifest and bring into being what he's created, but keeping him on the sideline. No. It's not the principles, it's the person of Almighty God you got to have. The principles will never hold without the person of Almighty God. So you have to resist that, because that's where our society continuously wants to take us. Point number two, healthy relationships always put God first. Come on, you're in a relationship, always put God first. Always. Always. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, the second part of the verse, one of my favorite verses. Joshua was talking to the children of Israel. I was wondering what's going on. Amen. He's talking to the children of Israel, and he's making it clear to them. Says, listen, you need to make a choice today. You know. Matter of fact, he says, look, if it seems unreasonable for you to serve God, says, that's on you. He says, but as for me and my house, watch this. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Come on, everyone say that with me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when he's talking about house, he's talking about his family. He's talking about his family. Come on, listen. This is your family. Especially if they live under your roof in your house. There should be certain kind of basic guidelines. To live in this house, we serve the Lord. I don't think I want to do that anymore. Oh, well, that's fine. That's fine. Bye. What? I thought you were a Christian. I am. But we're going to serve God. That's the mandate of our house and our family. Now you grown, you're right. We can't force you. But if you're going to choose now, it's like, yeah, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, you do that in your own place. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Healthy relationships put God first. You know, it sounds good, and it probably sounds a little bit Hollywoodish to say that the person you are in relationship with is your priority. This is my priority. We are together now. This is my priority. Well, that's great. That's great, but that's not healthy. Again, that's Hollywood. That's Broadway. That's all of that. That's Facebook. That's Instagram. That's all of that. What really brings health is when you choose to put God first. Listen, you want to find someone in relationship. Listen, you want to find someone who loves God before they love you. Because they can't love you without loving God. All right, glory. Let's illustrate this. Let me introduce to you all the love triangle. Now, when I say love triangle, this is not a Tyler Perry movie. All right, so it ain't two women and this dude, or a couple of guys and this young lady. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about God's love triangle. So, matter of fact, let's go ahead and let me show you the love triangle. All right, coming to us in any moment. Ah, there we go. All right, so now you see the love triangle, and that's how you want to always see love. Now I want to introduce you. Oh, thank you so much. I want to introduce you to some individuals here. Matter of fact, let me do a little mic adjustment so that y'all stop getting that feedback. Because I was wondering what was going on. That should help cut down all that feedback. Great. So now, we got the love triangle. Now, let's go to the next, and you'll see, I want to introduce you to a young lady, Tansy. Everyone say hi, Tansy. Hi. Tansy is in relationship. Oh, she's ready. I don't know if y'all can see over there. She's kind of small. But she's over there, you know, in the left corner. Tansy's in a relationship and watch this. She just met this wonderful guy named Tony. Let's bring the next. There's Tony. Tony looking sharp, clean. They're just like, okay, this is wonderful. They match, you know, and it's just like, wow, you know, just fireworks and sparks, you know, right in the beginning. Now, what's the triangle is not complete until you have a third. Now, again, a third is not another woman. Third is not another man. Third is not your mama. Third is not your dad. Third, not even your pastor. The third is none other than, boom, we got Almighty God. That's the love triangle. You got the two individuals that are in relationship, and you have Almighty God. Now, here's what most individuals make the mistake of doing. They make the mistake of endeavoring to grow well together. So we go to the next, and you'll see. They make that mistake where they're like, we're in relationship, we love each other, and they're making this effort to come closer together. But I want you to notice something. In them coming closer together, and they did, they're really not too much closer to God. Their distance from God really hadn't changed too much. Well, let's go back. Let's go to the next one. Let's reset it. Tansy and Tony. Now, another common, you know, trait that happens for those that are like listening, who have a heart for God, is sometimes you can get caught in a situation where one is growing towards God, but the other is not. So then you have, you know, what you see here. So Tansy's moving up towards God. Anthony's still trying to move towards Tansy. Tony, let's just say. He's trying to move that way. Now, anytime this happens, it's going to create some friction between Tony and Tansy. And watch this. And it's going to put tension on your relationship with God. Because it makes you have to choose. Let's go back. Let's reset. We'll see the next one. So now here's, again, Tony, Tansy. How should this happen in relationship? Oh, it's very simple. Grow towards God and you connect with each other. So we'll see it. If both of them just simply make it a point, no, I'm going towards God. Yeah, me too. I'm going towards God. We'll meet at God. When you grow towards God, watch this, you wind up growing closer to each other. And furthermore, now you have the glue that will keep you together. So you can grow together without God down at the bottom. You don't have any glue. And so when the storms of life come, and the storms of life come into the relationship, and they will come, you don't have the proper, you know, life preservers. You don't have the proper equipment. So the heart in the love triangle is keep growing towards God. And see, when that happens, that's where the fireworks go off. That's when it gets oh so sweet. Can you see it? I hope you can. Praise God. Now, let me give you this. Ah, boy. Right here in Matthew chapter 22, let me finish on with what Jesus was talking about. Because when he gave that first commandment, he didn't stop there. He then says something, and when he says it, he really makes a pretty significant assumption. It says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, and the second is like it. Second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Oh, that's interesting. Jesus makes this huge assumption here, assuming that the way we love ourselves would be the kind of love others would want to receive. And in some cases, let's just be honest, in some cases you know and I know that's not true. The way that you love yourself, you beat yourself up. Nothing that you do is ever good enough. You find fault with everything. It doesn't matter how well it goes. You find something wrong with it. I could have done this better. See, that's not the love you want to love somebody else with. Truth be told, that's not love. So in order to love someone else as we love ourselves, it starts with loving God first and receiving His love. His love then begins to redefine our whole self-image. So now we see ourselves the way that He sees us. Watch this. We love ourselves the way He loves us. And it has nothing to do, watch this, it has nothing to do with what we may perceive as flaws. All of us have, watch this, flaws. But watch this, the best diamonds got them too. So it's okay. It's okay. It's watch this. It's a part of your perfection package. So be okay with it. But you have to come to a place where you embrace the love that God has for you. And watch this. And you love yourself well. Come on, say it with me. Say, I love myself. Come on, say it. Say it. I love myself. Listen, until you love yourself, it's going to be very difficult for somebody else to love you. I would dare say almost impossible. Almost impossible. Because you're always going to have this barrier that they won't be able to transgress. Got to learn to love yourself. But that doesn't come from just self-will. That comes from the place of understanding who God has made you to be. I am who God says I am. Yeah. Yeah. And therefore, here I surrender. We just keep coming right back to the same thing. glory to God. So, point number three, loving others requires that you love yourself. Got to do it. Must do it. It's absolutely critical. And let me say this. You know, I've had conversations with various individuals over the years, and you know, sometimes we get so enamored with the sensational, with the extraordinary, that we miss the simple stuff. When, let's see, who is this? I think it was Moses. He's trying to make a connection with God. Oh, no, maybe it was not Moses. Either way, it's somebody in the Bible. Trying to make a connection with God, and here it is, maybe it was Elijah. Here it is now. There is a great wind that comes. God wasn't in the wind. It's a great storm that comes. God wasn't in all the impressive stuff. God showed up in a still small voice. See, we miss that. Because people get so enamored with the spectacular. I mean, you see it, you know, in the media, you know, so forth. You know, someone that's gone through, watch this, kind of gone through hell and back and revisited and bought some property in hell and came back again. And then it was just like, wow, look at their success story. I mean, we have this kind of fascination for that. You know, the whole rags to riches. Like, oh, look what they overcame. You know, so especially like in Christian circles, the more, let me just be plain, the more, you know, kind of wretched your story is, the more people are drawn like, oh, wow, look at there. And praise God for that. I mean, it's great that God has brought you through some horrible things. But never lose sight of the fact that if you haven't been through any of that, your story is no less significant. As a matter of fact, you ought to appreciate the great value of your story that God kept you from all of that craziness. But what winds up happening is people just get so, you know, captivated by the sensational and therefore wind up despising their own story. Don't despise your story. See, when you despise your story, you're despising yourself. You can't love yourself. If you're not loving yourself, you're not going to love that person that you're in a relationship with. Love yourself wonderfully. You know, John Maxwell, you know, one of our modern day kind of leadership, you know, experts. And he was sharing a story, you know, one day that he has some conference with his wife and talking to, you know, some individuals. And one of the individuals kind of turns to his wife and was just like, okay, so, you know, what does John do to make you happy? And he kind of sticks out his chest because he's just like, okay, I know she's about to go down on a long list of stuff because, you know, I'm a good man. And her response, you know, shocked him. She said, oh, no, he doesn't make me happy. That's not his responsibility. I don't put that pressure upon him. I gain my happiness from God. See, there's a woman who loved herself. You don't get your happiness from the person you're in relationship with. Because listen. The moment they have a day, your happiness is going away. All right, okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me try to wrap this up here. My time is almost out here. Only when we love God, matter of fact, you should see this on the screen. Only when we love God first, with all of our heart, soul, and mind, can we truly love ourselves. And it is only when we truly love ourselves and see ourselves in light of God's love that we can love someone else well. That's the whole goal, especially you're in a relationship, you're married, you want to be able to love the other person well. When it starts with loving God first and then embracing his love for you so that you can love yourself and now you can love them well. We're in on these 2 points right here. First one is this, some questions to ask in relationship when you're considering going deeper. Deeper. So now, you know, you kind of been dating for a while, but, you know, it's just like, you know, this could be the one. This could be the one. I don't know if that means Neo or what, but oh, well. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Questions to ask in a relationship when you're considering going deeper. Number one is this. Are you treating the person you are in relationship with in such a way that honors the one who created them? Are you treating the person you are in relationship with in such a way that honors the one that created them? Now, that's not based upon your definition. That's based upon God's definition of honor and what their purpose is. Number two, are you acquainted with God's dream for their life and are you willing to nurture and protect it? Come on, you're thinking about going deeper? Thinking about marriage? These are questions you want to ask. Are you acquainted? And if you're not, you need to become acquainted with God's dream. Not their dream. Not their dream. God's dream for their life. And are you willing to nurture and protect it? Number three, can you put aside your comfort and desires so that he or she can become all that God destined them to be? Marriage in particular is about serving. It's about service. It's a commitment to serve. It's a commitment to serve. So the question you have to ask, can I put aside my comfort, my desires? Watch this. If I don't get anything that I want, am I good with serving them to a place where they become all that God desires them to be? Most people can't do relationship that way. See, y'all notice it got real quiet right there about this one. Ooh. Last question is this. If the person does not change at all from who he or she is today, will you be happy to serve them? This is a question I present in all of our premarital counseling over, you know, the last, I don't know how many years. Like, listen. Don't just, you know, get enamored with potential. Like, I see the potential. Let the potential become some reality. And the question I always present is, if the person does not change at all, not one bit, from who he or she is today, will you be happy to serve them? I ain't say happy to date them. I ain't say be happy to have sex with them. Happy to serve them. If they don't change one bit. See, that's where you got to be objective in this whole process. You can't just let your, you can't be led by your emotions. You have to be led still by the Spirit of God. So we end right here. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Listen, when you just simply love God first, come on, you're delighting yourself in him. And the desires, come on, the secret petitions, the things that you haven't even mentioned, and sometimes things you're not even consciously aware of yourself that's in there, God says, I'll bring it all out. As you love me first, as you delight in me first. He says, and I'm a master of doing this, watch this, in relationships. When I got two people that are willing to grow to me, long as you have that, oh my, it's going to be sweet. Come on, somebody say it's going to be sweet. Absolutely, very, very sweet. Next week, we're going to wrap this up, dealing with, you know, I've been waiting to get to this next week too, dealing with the fact that it's complicated. Because some folks out there, you got some complicated stuff, some real complicated stuff. And that's all right. God's got solution. God's got answer for you as he wants to see you grow healthy in relationship. Father, we bless you. Magnify your wonderful name. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Help us, Daddy, to absorb your word, your spirit, Father, that's been ministering unto us today. And Daddy, my prayers for those that are in relationship or those that are looking to be in a relationship in the future, that they will grab hold of this and allow it to kind of saturate into their being, renewing their mind, transforming them so they can have the richness and blessing of relationship that you desire. We thank you for this and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please, everyone, wherever you may be, right here, online, just bow your heads with me for a moment. Listen, you heard me, you know, stress this, that this all starts with loving God first. Now, we're not talking about religion. We're not talking about trying to see how well you can obey, you know, God, and, you know, that's loving God. No, no, no. I'm talking about what you've been hearing all morning, surrender. Surrender. So maybe you never have come to the place of just surrendering now and forever. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. I want to introduce you to my King, my good, good Father. And that's the springboard to loving him first. Can't love him until you're in relationship with him. So if that's you, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. My heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. Here in the auditorium, there at home. Come on, heads bowed, eyes closed. If that's you, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Let's make this a glorious day. Let's make this a day of a game-changing shift. So if that speaks to your heart, you've never made that decision before, let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven right there where you are. Whether you're at home, whether you're here in the auditorium, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Just want to encourage you to be all that God's called you to be. It starts in a relationship with him. Amen. You're right. I can't see your hand for those of you online, but your Heavenly Father can. Come on. Lift it up as an act of your faith, as an act of surrender. Say, yeah, Father, I'm yours. I'm yours today. Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down. Do this for me. Right here, right now. Do this for me. Just type right into the chat, you know, decided. Or you'll see a link that comes up that you can click that just kind of just indicates you decided, praise God. We want to know so we can know to be praying for you. We want to help encourage you to be able to walk out God's plan and purpose for your life. Do that right now. And then as you're doing that and wrapping that up, let's all do this together. Come on, everyone, lift up two hands under heaven. Wherever you may be, at home, right here. Say this out loud with me. Father God, come on, say it strong. Father God, thank you so much for your amazing love. I surrender to you today. I embrace your gift for my life. Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. I turn my back on sin and I embrace your plan and purpose for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, somebody just take a moment to rejoice right there. Praise God. Come on, come on. Open up your mouth. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, somebody give God glory and honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with us out of the sincerity of your heart, I hope you already, you know, typed there into the chat. If you're present or if you're online, I got a booklet I want to get to you. Present, as you're exiting, just ask, you know, one of our leaders there, you know, as you're exiting, they'll be glad to put one into your hands. It's called A Fresh Start. If you're online, when you text that word decided, if you did that already, they will send you a link to your email so that you will have the book in a digital format. It's a 7-day devotional that's just designed to help you now grow stronger in Christ. So take full advantage of it. We're happy for you. We applaud you. We believe your absolute best is still to come, but you're on track for it right now for sure in Jesus' name. So now, Father, we thank you so much for your continued presence. Help us to continue to grow stronger in relationship. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory.